Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our lives. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
God bless you. God bless you. You know, God is doing extraordinary things around the world. So many wonderful things happening all around the world. The devil is trying to push negative news to attack your faith, to destroy your hopes. But we know God is doing extraordinary things around the world. Praise God. We have testimonies, beautiful testimonies coming in from every quarter, and we can only but give God praise. Now, when we share these testimonies, it's to help your faith so you know God is doing something. It will help you look beyond your circumstances and trust in the living God. Hallelujah. The Bible said He sent His word to Jacob. It lightened upon Israel. When God is doing something with someone, it's a sign that He can do the same with you. And so something comes alive in your spirit. You take your stance and you begin to stir yourself, release your faith, and you have the same testimony. Praise the Lord. So many things are happening. Just last week we heard that Pastor Chris organized a pastor's conference, not church conference. And there were over 110 million people who applied from all around the world. 110 million people. We have the greatest network in the world, in the church. We have the greatest network. And while you see the darkness around, God is building an army. He's raising an army. And you are part of that army. Somebody give God a shout! You are part of that army. So while we do the little we are doing, we know that there are generals in this army that are doing great things. The devil cannot win. At the end of the Bible, glory was ascribed to God. And it was ended with amen. There's no way the devil can win. And in your own life, the devil will not win. Hallelujah. I came in from Lagos on Saturday. We had a miracle service. And so many persons were healed. We couldn't take testimonies. We were grouping them. Those of you who are healed of eye condition, lift your hands. And people, ear, bone condition. We were taking testimonies in groups. We are in the last days. God is releasing His spirit in a measure that has never been seen. So everywhere God positions you, prepare yourself as a warrior. If you are in the ministry, get ready for supernatural dimensions you have never seen. If you are in the academia, get ready for records and for feats that have never been broken. If you are in the government, get ready. See, strange angels are coming to the earth. Angels that have never... They have never visited the earth. Some of them are walking the land. They are
He's the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne.
And Him alone,
He alone is worthy of our praise.
Kadosh, Kadosh,
Kadosh, Kadosh,
Kadosh,
Kadosh, Kadosh,
Kadosh,
Kadosh,
Kadosh,
Kadosh,
Kadosh,
Kadosh,
Kadosh,
Kadosh, Kadosh.
He's the Lamb of God.
He's the Lamb of God.
Who sits upon the throne.
He alone is worthy of our praise.
You who are worshippers, see, when we get to a point of synergy very soon, some of you who are worshippers, when the army of a nation wants to go to war, they may invite some of you, say, come. There's something about those chants. We are looking for superior warfare strategies. We are looking for empowerment. See, that's why I tell people, don't let the devil corrupt you now. When we are attacking these things, people don't know why. A nation we want to go to battle, the army will gather and they will call you. Say that chant you were chanting. We want you to chant it again. Because when you start chanting, angels go to war. And because they want to align with heaven. We will build systems, gadgets. We will build things. Oh my God. Oh my God. That's why when I hear of men like Pastor Chris, I'm excited. Because we will enter these territories. We will enter the systems with dimensions the devil has never known. Because an anointing is coming. Beings of heaven are coming. See, don't let yourself be corrupt. That thing God has put in you is for an appointed time. It's for an appointed time. When the armies of God begins to merge with men, then you will hear the sounds of Mahana. You will hear sounds. You will not remain small forever. Make no mistakes about it. God is still cooking you. God is still cooking you. That's why you cannot bend to the pressure. You see, some of the things we are saying is because of what we have seen. There are many people today who have sounds from heaven, gifted people who can download pathways from heaven for angelic movements to take place. And the devil deceives them that you are popular, you are on high demand. If you charge 10 million, if you charge 20 million, they will still bring. You are prepared for beyond money. What you are prepared for is beyond money. Did you not hear that the American army, there was a season when they were playing Sinatra songs as part of the instrument of generating morale. The American soldier, what clearance level was granted? At what point did a Christian song become part of military formation? You will know that God is building something. That's why you can't let it be corrupt. When you are there going through process, relax. Even the money will come, you won't know what to do with it. But that time you will begin to advance kingdoms. You will sit on your table and you'll be talking nations and territories. Everyone listening to me tonight, the power to be recruited in the army of God, receive it now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Be seated. If I follow this body, we will get lost. this service will turn to something else. Lower the sound. Lower the sound. You are provoking something. Hallelujah. We are following the calendar. A time will come when we'll start uttering some things. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Tonight, I want to share a strategy, and this is like the preliminary. I'll build on it as the weeks come and bring us into more complex spiritual operations. I just want to begin by introducing it tonight on harnessing your divine abilities. Praise God. People don't know that territories are being divided in the spirit. They don't know that thrones are being allocated, scepters are being given. The names of men are being matched to different levels of authority and different locations. This is not the time to slumber. This is the time to take over. We are almost at twilight. Very soon the day will come. And then you will know that under the darkness, God is raising an army. Those who can pick the sounds, they are already migrating. As the wind of the Spirit is moving them, they are already migrating. You will not be left out. Evangelist, you are welcome. That's my friend, Evangelist Simona from Romania. She's on fire for God. Very soon we will start invading Europe. Very soon. She's from Eastern Europe. And very soon we will touch those borders so that we can stir some fire. In the month of July, we'll be in Germany, we'll be in Holland. But that's our region. We will soon consider there. So that we come there and speak some words. And raise some soldiers behind the scene to support the weight of what they are doing. You are welcome. Good to have you. My friend Israel is hiding somewhere there with his damsel. Good to see you. So let's go step by step. You know, we started a series on Tuesday on the doctrine of the last days. I'll be teaching every Tuesday for this month so that we push that emphasis to a point where men can begin to interact with the bodies of God. But for Sundays, I'll be dealing with something different. And that's what I'm starting tonight. Harnessing your divine abilities. This sound you are playing. Holy Ghost, Spirit of the Living God. Is the Holy Ghost. Star of the King of Kings, is the Holy Ghost, Spirit of the age to come. He's changing everything. He's the Holy Ghost,
the Holy Ghost.
He's the Holy Ghost,
the Holy Ghost.
Center of the King of Kings, He's the Holy Ghost,
He's the Holy Ghost,
Spirit of the age to come,
changing everything in obedience to God.
He's the Holy Ghost,
He's the Holy Ghost, Spirit of the living God.
He's the Holy Ghost,
He's the Holy Ghost.
He's the Holy Ghost,
He's the Holy Ghost, Spirit of the Nation God, bringing everything in obedience to God, bringing everything in obedience to God, bringing everything in obedience to God. Bringing everything
I'm trying to recalibrate my spirit. My spirit wandered from the location it was before I came for the service. So if I leave it there, we will enter warfare. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Please, you may be seated. God bless you. Stop playing for 2 minutes. Just stop for 2 minutes. After 2 minutes, then you can touch something again. Let me recalibrate. Thank you, Jesus. So, it's better. Harnessing your divine abilities. You see, your design is a complex design. Paul was speaking, and he called the evolution of this race the mystery of the age. In Colossians chapter 1, from verse 26. We are actually the zenith of God's creative enterprise. The manifestation of God's excellence and mastery as touching creation is not in the angelic order. It is in the human race. And I have taught you many times of the different glories that different angels carry. When you look at certain angels, you will literally confuse them for the Christ himself because of the weight of glory that they command. The mystery that was weaved into their creation. There are angels that can stand on earth and their head will be in the sky. There are angels, in fact, in the book of Revelation, the Bible began to talk about certain angels that had never visited the earth. He said once too, one of his legs was in the sea, and he said in all the seas, and he said another was on the land, and his head pierced through the skies. One angel. Talking about the majesty of God's creative enterprise. There's another angel, the Bible said when he shouted, he said 1/3 of the birds died. 1/3 of all the birds on earth died because of the volume that came out of his spirit. And birds went down. 1/3. Now, all of that reveals the power and the excellency of God. But you see, as beautiful as the angelic ranks and all their glories revealed in scripture are arrayed, the greatest manifestation of God's wisdom was not trapped in the angelic order. And so when Paul was writing on account of the powers of revelation, he went into the scrolls of eternity and he began to tell us the deepest mystery of the age. And he said that mystery was manifested in the human race. And what he said was that the God that cannot be approached. You know, the Bible said God dwells in light that is unapproachable. And so anything that approaches the radiation that comes out of God will dematerialize. The God that is so big and majestic that the heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. He said God decided to weave a kind of mystery that cannot be understood. And he compressed his glory, his majesty and his power. And he decided to precipitate himself into the human vessel. And so the one that earth and heaven cannot host suddenly is carried by a mortal whom creation reveals weakness. When you look at the man actually is an epitome of weakness. Because where princes stand in Zion, when a man stands there, he doesn't have a place. Some angels can squeeze you. They breathe on you, you will collapse. He said, this man that looks vulnerable, this man that looks the weakest amongst creation, he said, this man that happens to be the last born of creation, God decided to condense himself. And so the man became the only container that could carry God. And he called it the mystery of the age. He said, Christ in you. How God was able to reduce the radiation and the intensity to now live inside flesh and man does not dematerialize is a syllabus that angels will study for aeons. Because up till now, they have not been able to approach him. When God appears, they bow down. They hide, they take cover. Now, the fullness of God is dwelling in man bodily. So man became the spectacle of God's creation. So every one of us seated here who is born again, we carry God in his fullness. And that's another dimension to the mystery. That God entered one man, and God did not stop in that one man. In every man that opens his heart, God is equally in him. As though God decided to Bluetooth himself, and men became conveyors. Meanwhile, there's a question in the spirit for ages past. They say, where is my home? Where is the place of my dwelling? Because it looked as if God was looking for where to dwell. And you would think God will dwell in Michael, because Michael is so powerful. But you see, the architecture for the design of Michael does not have the requirement to host God. You think God will dwell in some of the majestic cherubs of glory. None of them could carry God. It was what looked the weakest that now had the capacity to host God. And so the Bible speaking, it said we have this glory in 18 vessels. That the excellency might be of God and not of man. So you now know why God did what he did. Because when he decided to rub his glory on the angels, some of the angels thought of dethroning him. So now he showed them that his power is not just in activity. His power is in his secrecy. That he has the ability to recreate the whole universe. And he has the ability to put strength in weakness. So much so that the one you perceive to be weakest can become the strongest. That's why when the psalmist entered the spirit, he came back with a parable in Psalm 8. He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is the son of man that you decided to visit him? He said, you crown him with glory and honor. They are cherubims in heaven. Why did you not choose one of them? Why is it this one that is so weak that they can destroy, that you decided to put the greatest power? When God began to show me this secret, I discovered the wrong place to look at myself was the mirror. Because every time you go to the mirror and define your value, you looked at the wrong thing. And so the Bible said, we should all behold the perfect law of liberty. Because there is another kind of mirror that when you look at, you don't see external beauty. When you look at that mirror, glory begins to come out from within you. Because your power is not in your look. Your power is not in your skin color. Your power is not in your certificate. Your power is in divinity that you host. And so anybody who knows how to harness divinity can become a wonder to his generation. Because the fullness of God dwells in you now. Christ was the first man that hosted the Godhead. And God now decided to put Christ in us. So the fullness of God is in Christ, and Christ is in us. So when you are looking for God's headquarters, it's not heaven, it's man. God's headquarters is no longer a place, it's a person. And that person is the person you are looking at this morning. When I look at you, I see the dwelling of God. When you look at me, you see the dwelling of God. The question now is, how come the one who carries the fullness of God is full of complaints, lamentations, and defeat? This is why the angels look at the human race and they keep wondering. You have what we can never have. Yet the things we don't need to pray about to handle, they destroy you. What is the irony behind your existence? And that's the question we want to begin to answer in the course of this teaching. Because when a man truly discovers himself, problems becomes the platform for his manifestation. Because every time he confronts a challenge, he doesn't use the tools of his humanity. He pulls out weapons from his divinity. Because you are a hybrid creature. You are human and you are God. You are a hybrid being. Divinity is locked up on your inside. Every time you try to fight with the tools of your humanity, you will be defeated. The way we were wired to fight is to excavate God and to present God before crisis so that God will fight our battles. That's why you are not a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. Jesus wins the battle. He presents you to collect the trophy. And so every time there is a battle, you step aside and Jesus steps into the ring. When Jesus is done fighting, Jesus steps aside, you step into the ring and collect the battle. The problem you have is that when there is a battle, you put Jesus aside and you step out, you will now discover that although you are most powerful, you are also most vulnerable. Your human side is your vulnerable side. Your divine side is your powerful side. And so you must master how to bring your divine side on the scene every time you confront the affairs of life. But men don't know how to present their divine side. When a man is confronted with issues, he brings his experience. And the question the demons are asking him is, all this your experience put together, how old is it? You say 70 years. And the demon will look at you and say, well, I've been in this business for aeons. Before time was, wickedness was in me. This is what I do. So 70 years is the age of an infant as touching this matter. So your experience is handicapped. You show up and there is a crisis. And then you start quoting Harvard. Quoting Massachusetts. And the demon is looking at you. And he said, well, the person who wrote the theory you are quoting, I killed him. You will now discover, although your human ability is good, but there is a superior aspect of you. And so when you find champions, champions are masters on removing God from within them and presenting God. If you don't know how to harness your divine side, you will win until spirits become involved. Because the moment spirits come, you are the last born of creation. They were there when you were framed. They know your weaknesses and they have all the records of your bloodline. They can tell you, because Abraham lied, Isaac lied, Jacob lied, we know that any tendency you find in a man can travel 3 generations before and it can travel 3 generations after. So they don't even need to fight. They can exploit your weaknesses as a man. And so every man must learn how to harness his divine side. Now, before I begin to show you these principles, let me show you a few things that are already in you. Already. Not that you are going to pray for. That are already in you that makes up your divine side that you are not using and is the reason for your defeat.
Elohim Adonai, Elohim Adonai, Elohim Adonai.
Chapter 11 verse 33. Let me show you something. No, start from verse 32. He said, what? And what shall I more say? He said, time will fail me to tell you. Because there are certain men that are already on record to have perfected their divine side and have used it for glory. Now, this man is listening here, and the achievements they have, some of us have not had it. But all of us sitting here, we have an advantage greater than this man. But look at the achievements that they recorded. He said to speak of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David, and of Samuel, and of the prophets. He now showed you their profile. He said, who through faith subdued kingdoms. These men took nations. They took kingdoms. They brought down systems. He said, they wrought righteousness. They defeated the power of iniquity. He said, they obtained promises. Everything God said he will do, they claimed it from the realm of the spirit. He said, they shut or stopped the mouth of lions. These are unconquerable challenges that men confront. He said, these ones conquered unconquerable challenges. He said, they quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. And he now said, out of weakness. This is their secret.
out of weakness, they were made strong. So there is something this man know, that they come out of weakness and begin to exercise power. He said they worked valiant in fight and they put to flight the armies of the alien. And just in case you think he's talking only about gender, about men, he now went to the other side. He said women received their dead back to life. Others were tortured. They did not accept deliverance that they may have a better resurrection. So they were rooted in something that was older than death. They were rooted in something that was more powerful than death. It is the power that can resurrect the dead. It's that even women received their death. So they got to a point where there is no such thing as too late. No matter what the devil do, they know how to route their way back and turn the situation around. Because although they were weak, they were made strong. Your strength is the divine side that is within you. That's why it began by saying, through faith. So they were operating not by physical technology. They were operating by a supernatural technology called faith. So all of these things recorded was only recorded within the context and the confines of faith. Whereas, you have much more than faith. How can you be defeated? How can you be overcome? The answer is simple. You have not mastered how to awaken your divine side. Five things that you have currently that only God is in possession of. Only God. Number one, is eternal life. And I'm not teaching on these things because they are all a syllabus on their own. But the life you have now is the life of God. The life that powers God, that makes God God, is what you have. In fact, in order to make it clearer to you, the Bible said every exploit Jesus carried out, he carried out operating this life. So the life you have is as though it was uprooted from Christ and planted on your inside. So it was what powered Jesus that is powering you now. And so the least manifestation you should have should be at the level of Christ. The problem is that you have not harnessed eternal life. 1 John chapter 5 verse 11 to 13. Hear what the Bible says. Just to give you a comparison, it was showing you where your victory derives from. It said, and this is the record that God had given us eternal life. And in case you think this is just any life that any creature has, he now narrowed it down to Jesus. And he said, this life is in his Son. So it was the life Jesus came into the world with that made him unconquerable, that made him defeat death, that made him defeat sickness, that made him defeat all the attacks of the devil. He said, that is the same life that God implanted in you. In verse 11, he said, he that has the Son. He said, and he that hath the Son hath life. And he said, he that hath not the Son hath not that life. Because this life is only in the Son. And so only those who have the Son can be in possession of this life. And so he went to verse 13. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. Because it's possible you don't know. It's possible you think the life you have now is the one you inherited from your father. And so you see your father's limitation, you say, well, this thing happened to my father, so I'm not surprised that it's happening to me. If you are living only by your biological life, that is allowed. But there is a superior life. He said, I've written to you that you may know that you have eternal life and that you believe on the name, for those that believe on the name of the Son of God. So right here where you are sitting now, the same life Jesus walked with that made it impossible for Jesus to know defeat is the life that is in you.
Now, why are things that cannot happen to Jesus happening to you? So you now see that your problem or what you should look for is not divine intervention. Because when God gave you the life of Christ, He already gave you the fullness of His intervention. You see that what you need now is understanding on how to use that life. It's just like when God wants to intervene, He uses a gun to shoot. And then God gives you that gun. You are in possession of that gun. And then there is a crisis that you should shoot. And then you are calling God to shoot. The gun God uses to shoot, He has put it in your hand. And so your prayer now is not, God, come, Lord, show up. Is to know how to use that gun. Because this was what the Son of God used in order to walk in victory. And God transferred it to you. You have eternal life. You have the totality of God. Hope you know the reason you have a seat in this meeting. It's not because you are wearing suit. It's because you have the life of God. And you have the life that we also have. If you put a suit on a dog now, he won't have a seat here. If you put a suit on a baboon, he won't have a seat here. So it's not your seat that made you sit here. It is the life you have that gave you authority to sit here. Because that life has brought you to our class. In the same vein, when God gave you His life, you can sit where God walks. You can sit in divine chamber. You can participate in divine legislation because you have been upgraded to the God class. This is why when we come for meetings like this, the Holy Ghost is moving. The Holy Ghost is moving here because He is able to commune and to interact with us. We are of the same class. We are of the same order. We share in His life. And so when a man is defeated, it is not how much of his trust in God for intervention that is his answer. It's actually how much of his understanding of using what God has put in him. You can make 1,001 demands on eternal life. Anything Jesus manifested, you can make demand for the same order of manifestation from the premise of eternal life. But we have not mastered how to harness. Our problem is a problem of harnessing. Think about it for a moment. See the number of people dying in the hospital. We have to kneel down and cry and beg God and pray for God to touch them. Does that mean we are more compassionate than God? Does that mean we now love people more than God? The same God that the Bible said loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Is that a God now we have to beg to come and heal people? And then in most cases, these people are not healed, they die. And we are weeping. And we expect that God is smiling because we love them more than God. There is something we have not understood. Now, there are situations where God intervenes. But God did not plan to always show up and go, show up and go. He has put something on our inside. And it has become our responsibility to master it. That is God's plan. That's why He gave us the same life that powers Him. Everybody here who has Christ already has the life of God. Number two, weapon you have to your advantage here that you are not going to ask for is faith. In Romans chapter 12 verse 3, the Bible said when we accepted Christ, it said God dealt to us the measure of faith. What that means is that everything you need to succeed in life, the faith you need to conquer was measured unto you. The measure that your destiny requires has already been measured to you. The measure that you require. Is that Romans 12:3? Get me that scripture. Or is it 1 Corinthians 12:3 now? It says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, every man that is among you, not to think of himself so highly than he ought to, but to think soberly, according as God dealt to every man the measure of faith. And so any mountain that stands before you now, the authority to deal with it is already in you. It's not in heaven. The faith you need
for a victorious life is not going to be imparted. It has already been imparted. If you are not getting the answers you need, you have not learned how to harness faith. The day you learn how to harness faith, your mountains will disappear. Because this is the same faith Christ used while he was walking the earth. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 1, Peter was speaking, and here's what Peter said. Peter said, "Is the faith I have that you also have. My faith is not different from you." He said, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith." Like precious faith. The same faith we have is the faith you have obtained. So everything we are doing now, you are equally capable of doing. Because it's the faith in us that commands it, that is in you commanding it. In fact, when Paul came, Paul understood this and Paul went for it aggressively. Here's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:13. He said, "According as it is written, not my feeling, not my perception." He said, "They believe and have spoken." He said, "We having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak." So what Paul was saying is that if Peter can do anything, me too, I can do it. Because what Peter has that empowers him to do it is faith. And I too have received that same spirit of faith. And Paul didn't stop there. He took it a bit further. In Galatians 2:20, he now said, "The faith I have is not my faith. It's not Peter's faith. It's not Bartholomew's faith. It's the faith of the Son of God." So the same faith Jesus had that made him walk on water is the same faith you have. If you cannot walk on water, it means you have not harnessed faith. The same faith Jesus had that made him multiply bread is the same faith you have. If you can't multiply bread, it means you have not harnessed faith. The same faith Jesus had that made him walk on earth without sickness is the same faith we have. But we have not mastered the art of harnessing our divine abilities, of which faith is one. Are you seeing that the best thing you can find on earth outside God is a man that has Christ? Are you seeing that the greatest asset on earth is a man? Because in man is the totality of the investments of God. His life is there. His faith is there. And it doesn't stop there. It still went a bit further. The power of God is now in you. Jesus was speaking in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And he said, "Not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power. And you shall be witnesses unto me." And so, one of many things the Holy Ghost brought to you is the power of God. It's not speaking in tongues the Holy Ghost brought. The proof of the receipt of the Holy Ghost is not tongues, it's power. But many are not aware that right here, right now, there is power seated in their bosom. Because they think the Holy Ghost they receive is just to make them speak in a strange language. And then you see them priding so much in tongues. It's beautiful to speak in tongues, but if it does not end in power, it's a waste. Because the proof of the receipt of the Holy Ghost is not tongues, it's power. Even people who don't have the Holy Ghost chant in gibberish. The difference between you and them is that now the power of God is resident in you. And so the same power that rose Lazarus from the dead, he didn't go to heaven, it's on earth, inside the believer. The power that healed the sick did not go to heaven. God left it on earth, inside us. The Bible said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, Acts 10:38, with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So Jesus had the power that canceled all the oppression of the devil. Before Jesus went to heaven, he said, "You too, not many days from now, you shall receive the same Holy Ghost and the same power, so that you too can be witnessing." So witnessing is not preaching a message. Witnessing is destroying the works of the devil. And the key for achieving that is the power of God. So power is not in heaven waiting for you to ask to be given. Power is in your spirit waiting for you to stir it to manifest.
So right here, right now,
the power of God is on your inside. If the power that is in every one of us here is harnessed here, this room will explode. The power to raise the dead is here. The power to open blind eyes is here. The power to open deaf ears is here. The power to call for financial prosperity is here. But it is locked up. It's not harnessed. It's not harnessed. And so, every time you are hoping God will manifest His power, God is telling you, the one on your inside, how much of it have you used? Imagine that somebody has power and he dies with power. And then he goes to heaven. They now tell him, sorry, we are happy that you are back home. But you see, the power in you is enough to raise 30 dead men. It's enough to destroy 1,000 cancers. It's enough to heal 200 blind people. And they show you the profile of the power that is on your inside. Yet you died of headache. Headache took you home. And you know, the Bible said, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of the saints. So anytime you come, no matter how you come, they will welcome you home. But may you not go until it's time. The power. Do you know that the power to change the fortune of a whole territory is resident on your inside? But you can die of poverty because you have not harnessed that power. So in you now is the life of God. In you now is the faith of the Son of God. In you now is the power of the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't stop there. Seated right here in you now is the righteousness of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, the Bible said He made Him that knew no sin to become sin for us, so that we will become. It didn't say we will have. It said we will become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you are asking yourself, why do I need that righteousness? Many reasons. Number one, that righteousness gives you the right to stand in God's presence, but it's beyond it. In Romans 5:17, it said, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. So the reason God made you righteous, amongst other things, is so that your existence is one that kings through life. So you are no longer a servant to be oppressed by any spirit or by any circumstance. You have now been made a king and a priest to reign through life. That's why Revelation 1 verse 6 says, unto Him that washed us and made us kings and priests unto God. And the job of these kings is to manifest the glory of God. The job of this king is to showcase the excellency of God. So when people are looking for God, they find you. You show them God. That's what righteousness came to make you. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, it said you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, God's own special people, called forth not to gather and carry out religious activities. It said called forth to showcase, to manifest, to give out the excellencies of God. And so when people are asking questions, what God looks like, what God can do, you show up. I was hearing a preacher, I've forgotten his name, I think 2 days ago. He said an atheist, who is also a journalist, wanted to discredit him and say all these things they are doing that they call prophecy and word of knowledge is a lie, that is stage managed. That when people come to church, they write their problem, they give to the pastor, he rehearses it and he calls it out. That the man, if he's not afraid, he should come, they will sit on live television. Let him explain what word of knowledge is. And this pastor was marveling at the level of wickedness in the thought of a fallen man. So when they say somebody has cancer, he's healed, you think they just want to create impression with cancer? Or if somebody really has cancer, you just call it out. Maybe because there are 3,000 people, you assume one person should have cancer, you call it out to make mockery of the person's circumstance. Is that what you think we gather in church to do? And he was asking God, how do I explain word of knowledge to this man? And God didn't say anything. When they went on the live broadcast, he was still asking the Holy Ghost, how do I explain this thing to this man? The Holy Ghost now said, ask him, the arthritis on his left shoulder,
that has been there for 5 years. What does he want to do about it? Now we have left textbook. We have left acting. The man now asks him, the arthritis on your left shoulder that has been there for 5 years, what do you plan to do about it? Journalist forgot that he came with a mission. And he dropped the microphone and he said, how do you know? And the man said, it's not how I know. He said, right now, check, the pain is gone. Journalist lifted his hand. Journalist discovered pain is gone. Journalist now said, come, I want to know this, your God. So the way you explain God is not to talk about him, it's to demonstrate him. He said, who is your God that I should worship him? Moses dropped his rod. That is my God. The magicians of Egypt dropped their rod, but the serpent of Moses swallowed that of the magician. They now understand who is God. But you see, you cannot demonstrate God like this except as you have been made his righteousness. So the reason he made you righteous is so that you can king through life. You went to that business and they tell you, until you compromise, you will not prosper. And you tell them, I will not. Give me 1 year. In 1 year, you become the leader. And they come to you. They say, who are you talking to? Which Babalawo are you going to? And you say, no, I don't need to go to a Babalawo. He said, I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, God's own special person, called forth to showcase the excellencies of God. Don't you know many people will want you to bow down to something before you become something, and then you tell them, I kneel before God, so I stand before every other thing. Any man that kneels before God can stand before anything. You don't kneel before two beings. It's the Lord of heaven. And so when you come out, you come out to reign. You come out to king. You come out to shine. Many may misunderstand you and say you are proud. Don't mind them. They are myopic. You were called to showcase the excellency of God. And don't apologize about it. That's who you are. That's what you were created to do. Even if you try to be small, you cannot be small. It says you are the head and not the tail. You remain on top. Only is righteousness that impacts that level of authority. There are times when you are talking with audacity and people look at you, they say, who does he think he is? I am a new creature. I am in Christ Jesus. Christ is in me. I am in Christ. The glory of the Lord is upon my life. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. You were born to reign. Did you not read it? It said in 1 John 5 verse 4, it said, this is the victory that overcometh the world. See, we have not come to overcome one system. We have not come to overcome one organization. We came to overcome the whole world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You are still in Abuja. They say you are proud. Wait until we invade Europe. Wait until we invade Asia. Wait until we invade America. They say, where are you running to? Do you think I came here to live forever? I didn't come here to live forever. The program of God for my life is calibrated into time. And so the Bible says, I must do the work of him that called me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man shall walk. That it took you 20 years does not mean it should take me 20 years. I came by a different set of rules. I came by another power. I came by another being. I came by another protocol. So what men take 2 years, 20 years, 30 years to do, we do it by the speed of the Spirit. Instead, a quick walk shall the Lord do, and he will cut it short in righteousness. Hear this. Somebody's hearing.
marry me now, a wisdom will come to you. Although you are just 25, you are 26, but you will have wisdom. You will enter cyber security and you will take over. Somebody is hearing me now. Although you are 27, you will enter real estate and you will take over. It doesn't take age, it takes grace. And so I release that grace upon you now. Take over your world. Marakabanda Subakaya. Sekaparado Sabakayata. Sada, Lavita Rosa. Seria Mancha Barakira Talaban. Ekalonda Paradia. Your dreams and your visions be as big as the revelation of the world. Don't let anybody limit you or determine your scope. Why do you think God sends men ahead of us? If Pastor Chris is gathering 110 million people now, do you think it's still an achievement in the next 5 years if somebody else organizes a meeting and say 100 million people came? He has shifted the bar. So that when the next generation comes, he paves the way for them. You may not look like it, but what is in you will achieve it. You are the righteousness of God. You came to reign. You came to reign. See, somebody needs to become provoked and give himself a timeline. In the next 5 years, I will have a stake in the government. In the next 5 years, I will have a stake in real estate in Abuja. In the next 5 years, I will have a stake in the media. In the next 5 years, I will have a stake in cyber security. And as you say it, the grace of God begins to mobilize you. Begins to mobilize you. You are sleeping, inspiration is coming. You are walking, wisdom is coming. Partnership is happening. Strategies are coming. And suddenly, like a rushing mighty wind, you erupt. And people say, how? You say, it's the finger of God. It's the finger of God. Thank you, Father. You may be seated. You may be seated. Some of us here, you may be 60. They think your life is over. Go and prepare for retirement. That's when you will start. And you start opening companies. And they are saying, what is happening? Grace has no age. It's eternal. It doesn't take sex. It doesn't take age. It takes grace. And God is raising overcomers. God is raising champions. But we need to know the investment we have to dare certain feats. Your greatest capital is not in your account. It's in your spirit. Make no mistakes about it. Pastor Chris was sharing, and he said when the Archbishop Benson Idahosa was dedicating his dome, he said they sat, and Benson Idahosa told them, do you know the cost of this building? They were expecting $1 million. They were expecting to call money. I said, this building is what? F-A-I-T-H. It's what? Faith. Spiritual capital is what bets physical capital. Finally, the fifth divine investment that is in you now is the grace of God. It's a day which receive abundance of grace. God didn't give it in measures. When it had to do with faith, he gave you the measure. But when it has to do with grace, he gave abundance. So that you can have some flexibility. They which receive abundance of grace. See, that thing you are going up against, you have too much grace for it. You are into ministry. They say, take it easy. This thing is not easy. It's not easy. That's why I have grace. They say, this business is hard. That's why you have grace. Grace comes to cushion the effect of your engagements. Without grace, you will be overwhelmed. Imagine, this week alone, I ministered in Lagos for 3 days. I came back from Lagos. I have ministered twice in House on the Rock this morning. And I'm still here basking in the spirit, full of life and power. If I want to change this service to a miracle service, I can change it. If I want to move this service to an impartation service, I can change it. If I want this service to become a service of encounter, I can change it. Why? Because there is a router over my life. It's called the grace of God, and it's there in abundance. They which receive abundance of grace. I know this is so well. See, if I hold money, I say, because this money has entered my hands, the value is no longer what the bank calls it. It's a consciousness of grace. My people will tell you. Sometimes I call them. I say, take this 1,000. Take. And I say, be wise not to refuse. You may call it 1,000, but take. You will see the impact. It has entered my hands. Something has rubbed on it. I know that grace is in abundance. I know. So I can release the power. You know, in this ministry, me, I give my people money. I don't only take fees from them. Sometimes we come for meet. The last time we had a leaders meeting with some of our service team members. And I went into my drawer. I pulled out cash. I shared for all of them. I said, take money. Take. If he has touched me, something has touched it. I know. And it's not about me. It's for everybody here. Everybody. We have all received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. See, the people who work with me, they will tell you. Sometimes somebody gives me a seed and I collect it and I say, take. From today, begin to receive money without hard work. Hard work is a level and it's important. But there's a realm called grace. Where, although you did not sow, yet you will reap. There's a realm called grace. Although the clouds are dry, yet the valley will be filled with water. It's a realm. And so you bring them there consciously. Consciously. Out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living water. Out of my belly shall flow. Out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living water, rivers of living water. Out of my belly shall flow. You are too invested in to waste. That's why God intervenes in your life. His investment on you is too much. His life is there. His righteousness is there. His power is there. His faith is there. His grace is there. The investment on you is too much. You are the richest asset of divinity in creation. And to cap it all up, God himself is in you. The Holy Ghost lives on your inside. How can you be a failure? It's impossible. Nothing in you should fail. Nothing about you should fail. But you see, you must master how to harness your divinity. Sit down. I'll begin with consciousness tonight. And I will show you how to approach situations. If you want to harness your divine side,
I will run through it because some of them are self-explained. I call them basics of harnessing our divine possibilities. Number one, if you want to harness your divine possibilities, kill every secret cow. I learned this from John G. Lake. The reason many, what we call secret cows, are misconceptions that we have not thoroughly studied through to understand the mind of God. They are called secret cows. You want to prosper, but there's a contention. You don't know the difference between functioning by the speed of the Holy Ghost and human ambition. And so you can't release your divine energy. When God is promoting you, you are afraid. People will think you are ambitious. And so you surpedder. They are called secret cows. There's a sickness trying to attack your body. You are not sure whether God is the one teaching you something or whether it's the devil attacking you. And so you cannot fight vehemently. Because you heard somebody said somewhere that God uses sickness to teach his people, children, things. Another person says sickness is the attack of the devil. So you are in between the two. You can't fight. They are called secret cows. God does not use sickness to teach you a lesson. He has too many verses of scripture to use. If you find any area of your life where there are secret cows and you don't slaughter them, you will never release your divine possibilities. Your hindrance will come from within you. They tell you, it doesn't matter if you are born again. This place where you come from, people don't succeed. When I started ministry, they told me, brother, the summary of your ministry will be to fight and create a way for your children. Because before you succeed in ministry, you must at least be of the third generation. I say, well, I am of the eternal generation. Because my grandfather is God the Father. My father is God the Son. My great-grandfather is God the Father. My father is God the Son. My grandfather is God the Son. My father is God the Holy Ghost. I began from the cross. So I have gone beyond three generations. I came from eternity past. You cannot tell me. You know why many are not succeeding? They feel, no. They have to use this lifetime to fight the battles of their ancestors. And then you see them at 80, they are still fighting the battles. Fighting the battle. The other time we were in Makurdi, and somebody came and told us he has fasted for Benue for 30 years. He has labored for Benue for more than 30 years. And he wanted to give us the mantle. I said, no. I don't need this mantle. I need another mantle. I need another mantle. He said, 30 years. And he's still fighting at the foundation. I respect his labors for God, but I don't need that mantle. Me now will become second generation of fighters for Benue. And then when I'm 70 years, I will still come without any impact and I will come and hand the mantle. No, there are other mantles. There's a mantle that comes from above and speaks over Benue. That's the mantle I want. But Elfin spoke into Benue from Elisha and it shaped the destiny of Benue. I will look for those kind of mantles. If you don't slaughter secret cows, you will die. They tell you, Nigeria, when you graduate from the university, just get ready to labor for 5 years first before your life begins. 5 years. They will not start showing you. See that brother, he made first class. He graduated 10 years ago. See that one, he made... I don't know by what they came, but me, I'm coming by the grace of God. I'm coming by the righteousness of God. I'm coming by the power of the Holy Ghost. And so I don't care the certificate he came out with. I don't care for how long he graduated. But you see, my life is an errand from heaven. I move from one dispensation to another dispensation. Thank God for what he's doing in his life. But I have my own program. They are called secret cows. And so you leave that in your subconscious. You are struggling and laboring. You are praying. But you have already shut the gate. If that 5 years does not pass, you will never make any impact.
You want to deploy your divine side? Sit down, trace every secret cow in your life and slaughter it. You don't need them. In Mark 7 verse 13, it says you have made the word of God of none effect by your tradition. That's why no matter the prophecy, no matter the impartation, you go nowhere. You have used human traditions to make the word of God of none effect. And so the first fight you fight is from within. That's why Ephesians 4:24, it said, be ye transformed. It said, be ye renewed, transformed by the renewing of your mind. You renew the spirit of your mind after righteousness and true holiness. Allow God to transform you. All of these things we pick an adage, we pick a parable, and we pattern our life. It will frustrate you. You don't need any adage. You don't need any parable. Carry scripture is enough. If I was following some of those adages now, I would have still been somewhere praying to God to move me forward. I stood my ground and fought because I know what they were telling me was not the will of God. I'm not saying you will not fight, but I'm saying you will fight from the place of advantage if you function only by the word. In Africa today, they believe you cannot make impact until you are 40. So when you show up and you are making impact, instead of appreciating you for the impact, they are trying to get your age. You come up to a platform and the first question they are asking, how old is he? Who told you his age that determines impact? You have a fashion store. Senators are coming and they are asking, how old is she? When did she start? It's not when I start. It's what I started with. I started with grace. I started with power. I started with faith. That's what you should ask. Some of you don't know. We who travel to preach, you come into certain territories, and when people gather and you show up, they will now look at you. Is this a man of God? What? Some will even meet you. Because sometimes when you come for some meeting, you'll meet in the office before you go. And then you will see some elderly ministers. Is this the person? They will so despise you, it will show on their face. And so because they want to act pious, they'll say you are blessed. You know what we do? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. When we come to the altar, then you see our age. Kakakaka. Yakuata. Kekerato. Barak. Kakatina. Baragata. Sometimes, you know the way the Holy Ghost does it? Sometimes, the first five minutes, when you start talking, the Holy Ghost will start opening ancient chronicles that even their grandfathers don't know. And when you finish, they will come back and say, we were blessed, so thank you, sir. They will now start whispering to you. Sorry. That's when they will call you man of God. Man of God, I have a challenge. Don't despise them. They are limited by their mindset. But don't let anybody intimidate you. See, the last wedding I went for to preach for my friend, Pastor Victor. We came for wedding. They were acting drama. They sang songs 3 times. When it was time for the word, they told me to preach for 15 minutes. I should preach for 15 minutes. What will I say? If there's no time, why have we been singing since? They sang 3 times, acted drama, and did everything. Reverend, I was so promoted that day to sit with Reverend. He said, use 15 minutes. Because he was careful. This altar is an ancient altar. Don't come and ask, bring young madness here. I came and I opened the scripture. And I began to touch codes that are eternal. Codes. They beat me sign. Continue.
Oh, and I do double.
hear me? You may be young, you may be old, but the grace of God is not young. The power of the Holy Ghost is on your life. Harness it. Harness it. Harness it. You know what they told me? They said that message I preach, they now make it available for everybody who wants to marry. It's compulsory. Hear it. It's not people's fault when they size you based on your looks. It's your fault if you allow it to be so. When you show up, give expression to the grace of God. When you show up, give expression to the power of God. When you show up, give expression to the righteousness of God. There is something that you carry. You are not ordinary. You are not ordinary. Kapata kaboa. Arakta sabilako maragai. Erakabanda suta kapataya. Sit down. Some people's greatest limitation is in their head. Secret cows. They've not allowed the light of God's words to destroy it. They've not allowed the power of the Holy Ghost to break it. They've not allowed grace. Listen, that your skin is black does not make you less of a human. It's not about skin color. It's about the grace of God. Employ Americans to work under you. It's not about nation. It's about what you carry. What you carry. Your chef can be an American. Your driver can be an American. Just the way a Nigerian can also be a driver to an American. It has nothing to do with where you come from. It has everything to do with what you carry. You have grace. You have power. Deploy it. And the first way is to remove every mental barrier. That's why we meditate on the word. To break mental limitations. Number two, how do you deploy the power of God? You have to recognize everything the devil is doing as an attack on your destiny. The devil can hide behind his oppressions and make it appear to you like circumstances. If you allow attacks that the devil masquerade as circumstances, it will bury you before you know. God was speaking in Jeremiah 29:11. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. He said, they are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. So anything that negates the glorious possibility of your future is not God, it's the devil, and you must fight it as an attack. Too many people are complacent, redundant, and lukewarm because they call arrows shot at them as events and circumstances. If you don't discern the devil, you are in trouble. He said, don't be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. So make sure you stand guard against the devil. And there are three things you must do about the attacks of the devil. Number one, consider all of them to be the same. Whether it is cancer or headache, it's the devil. Don't make the mistake of exalting one demonic problem above the other. You will reduce the effect of the power of God. The same power that deals with headache is the same power that deals with cancer. What the devil wants to do to you is to make you feel certain dimensions of his attack require stronger power. And so you will be there undermining what you carry and exalting what the devil is throwing at you. The power that can heal cancer is the same power that can bring somebody out of obscurity. Because it came from the devil, it is the same. It's one thing that deals with them. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about healing all. It was the same power that healed the blind. It was the same power that healed the deaf. It was the same power that raised the dead. Can I tell you, the reason we have more record of deaf ears opening, that the dead being raised back to life, is because we assume that we need more power to raise the dead than we need to open deaf ears. And so your assumptions can place limitation on the power of God. When you put the power of God to work, it deals with everything. And the Bible didn't stop at all sicknesses. It now said, and all the oppressions of the devil. Be it a mental oppression, a spiritual oppression, a bodily oppression, a circumstantial oppression, is the same power of God that deals with them. So when you approach the devil, don't reduce your potentials and possibilities by grading things. When you start grading certain things to be superior to others, you start limiting yourself. The second way to approach the attack of the devil is to consider everything as a person. If it is headache, see it as a person. Because everything the devil is doing, he is behind it. If it is poverty, see it as a person. If it is reproach, see it as a person. If it is near success syndrome, see it as a person. If you see it as a circumstance, instead of dealing with the spirit, you start looking for strategy. And if you begin with strategy, you will fail. It's when you deal with the spirit that the strategies will work. Anything you are going through, see it as a person. A demon is behind it. And so somebody tells you, my business is not doing well. You say, you devil, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Before you give business plan. Somebody tells you, I have pain in my shoulder. There's a growth on my eye. You devil, in the name of Jesus, get up. Does it not surprise you that everybody Jesus intervened in their situation, the Bible summarized it as the oppression of the devil? Because behind every negative circumstance is the spirit. When the spirit is taken away, the situation will be handled. In Luke 13:16, Jesus met a woman that was bent over. You will call it a spinal disorder. Jesus said, ought not this woman, being the daughter of Abraham, being oppressed these 18 years, to be let loose? He narrowed it to the devil. If you don't deal with demonic circumstances as a person, you will think they are events, phenomena, or occurrences, and it will limit your possibility. So the first way you deal with the devil, tell yourself, anything the devil does is beneath the power of God. They are all the same. Number two, tell yourself, every circumstance, there is a spirit behind it. So I will deal with a strong man. If I deal with a strong man, the circumstance will be addressed. And finally, see everything from the realm of everything that negates your destiny as an attack. See it as an attack. It came to make you a prisoner of war. If you don't see it as an attack, you can relax and lie on your bed and say, Lord, please help me. Oh Lord, when will this happen? You are joking. For those of us who understand how this thing works, I wish my wife was here. They tell me, hey, this thing happened to this person. In the name of Jesus, I come with aggression. I come because I know it's an attack. I have been a victim before. My brother woke up. He said, I'm having pain on this side of my head. Ah, you have pain, take Panadol now. He took Panadol. After a while, it became partial paralysis. After a while, they said they found typhoid. After a while, he went into coma. I don't joke with anything that negates my destiny. Tell me something happens to somebody, and you will see how the lion will wake up in split second. Because I see everything that negates destiny as an attack. I don't know how to pray casually in dealing with circumstances. If somebody has headache, I pray with the same intensity I will pray if I were praying for the dead. Somebody says business is not working, I address it with the same intensity with which I will address somebody who is dying. Because every attack requires your strongest opposition instantly. Because you take it for granted, the devil will cover more ground. Ask people who are victorious, they will tell you. I don't pray casually. Somebody comes to you, there's a problem. You say, oh Father, Girondo Sabrakina, Malendo Kavi Karaga Sabila Bro. When you finish acting, come back and fight. When I'm fellowshipping with God, I can lift my hand. Lebro Saparaki do Sahatai. But not when somebody comes with problem. When you come with problem, it's not fellowship. Maka sekakoa, bakarato sezana kapata. You devil, come out! And he knows that this one will not take no for an answer. And because he doesn't have too much to waste, he will run to another location quickly. Quickly, quickly. That's how you deploy the power of God. You come as a warrior. You come as a warrior. It was the same intensity David fought Goliath. He used to fight the bear. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that has risen against the army of God? The Bible said when Goliath was walking towards David, he said David charged at him with aggression. You are doing business. You lose 1 million. You are saying no. Something went wrong. Before you check, lock the door. Makakara. Erakabado sapata. Any devil that has come to open my pocket, any demon that has come to attack this business, Matero Barakano, Asada, Sasa, I charge you. When you finish, call the experts and tell them, let's review this business. What is happening? They will think you are a scholar. They don't know you are first of all a priest. You hijack it in the spirit, then you deal with it in the natural. Sit down. We don't have time. Number three, if you want to harness and utilize the power of God in you, stop begging. Start giving commands. When you beg, you bring yourself at the mercy of the circumstance. God has not made us beggars. He said he has made us kings and priests. And he said where the word of the king is, there is power. Who can say unto him, what doest thou? Jesus said, when a mountain is before you, don't beg God, Lord, come and answer. Mark 11:22. He said, have the God kind of faith. He said, when there is a mountain before you, speak to the mountain. Command the mountain. Be thou removed. He didn't say, oh Lord, if you are willing, let this mountain be removed. That's for children. What do you mean, oh God, if you are willing? If God was not willing, why did he send Jesus to die? When you meet the mountain, you mountain of devil, get out. You command. If you don't command, you will lose. Even in the natural, don't you see how it works? You find a problem that you should handle. You are there using kid's glove until your enemy builds confidence and begins to attack you. By the time you are trying to fight back, your morale has already gone down. But if the devil comes close to your door and you shout before you come out, he will run. You give commandments in order to deploy the grace of God on your life. That is how we were designed. That is how we were built. That is how we were born. We were born to rule and to reign in life. And so when things confront you, it's not the time to beg. It is the time to give laws. It's the time to give commandments. It's the time to deploy the power of God that is in your spirit. There's grace on your life. There's an anointing on your life. There's the power on your life. But the anointing on your life is the anointing of a king. That anointing is not used to begging. God does not beg. And so when a king gives you his weapon, you must use it like a king. If God was not begging with the anointing, who told you you will beg and see results? The weapon he gave you is not a weapon of a servant. It's a weapon of a king. And there's a way he was wielding it in ancient past before he handed it over to you. You must wield it in the same manner. In the same manner. Give commandments and see how the grace of God on your life will come rushing out like a river. Are you following? Some of us, we approach the situation from that defeated mentality we have as Africans. That intimidated posture that they put on us while we were growing up. And then you want to confront ancient spirits. No, the mantle you carry is the mantle of a king. The spirit at work in you is an ancient spirit. You must come in the same order and similitude of that spirit. That's how you conquer. We are commanders. We are rulers, we are kings, and we are priests.
We were born to give commandments to situations and to rule over darkness. And so the third thing and the third heart posture you must sustain in order to deploy your divine side is the posture of a warrior. Is the posture of a commander. Is the posture of one that gives laws and not one that is at the mercy of the oppositions of darkness. The fourth posture you must take is the posture of purity. The princes you are dealing with, they understand the laws of the spirit. And so many times when a principality is attacking your space, he is attacking your space because he knows you have already violated spiritual laws. If you don't violate the laws of the spirit, he won't come. Because he knows that his power is tied to your violation. And so a man who wants to have perpetual victory in the deployment of the grace of God must sustain purity as a lifestyle. In John 5:14, after Jesus healed the blind man, he told him, "See that you continue not in sin, lest a worse thing happen to you." Because it's our iniquity that opens the door to the devil. When you find people fighting and not generating results, it's not their revelation that is at fault. It's their consecration that is at fault. Trace it to where they open the gate. Lock it up and see how helpless the devil will appear. In Ephesians 4:27, it says, "Giving no place to the devil." Giving no place to the devil. Because if you do, he will mess you up. If you want to be a commander, make sure your hands are clean. He said, "Him that comes to equity must come with a clean hand." Because there is a realm you come to. It's about laws. It's about oracles. It's about legislations in the spirit. And if you are found wanting, it will affect your ranking. It will affect your authority in the spirit. Finally, I don't have time. You must always keep your intensity. In Leviticus 6:12, it said the fire on the altar must not be put out. It said the priest must put wood on it every morning. If your fire goes down, you lose everything. You must sustain your intensity if you want to remain a commander. The Bible said in Romans 12:11, it said, "Be not slothful in business." It said, "But be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." If your fervency is affected, your authority will be affected. I hope you know that remaining on fire has a lot of spiritual engagements required. You must be full of prayer. To stay on fire, you must be full of the word. Fire is not shouting. Spirits don't hear human volume. They hear spiritual intensity. You can be shouting, but your intensity is low. And you can be talking very low, but your intensity is very high. Demons have a way of discerning our intensity level. And so if you want your intensity to remain strong, you must be full of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it said, "Pray without ceasing." Pray without ceasing. Romans 12:12, it says, "Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, constant in prayer." Why is this so? Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He maketh tremendous power available. There are many persons who forget to cook themselves, and when they appear on the stage, they start shouting. This is not where you generate power. This is where you manifest power. You generate power on your altar. You manifest power on your platform. Be it your job, be it your pulpit, that's where you manifest from. If you have not built power in the place of prayer, if you have not built intensity, the devil will make a mockery of your ordination. And secondly, to sustain intensity, you must be full of the word. You must be full of the word. Jesus was speaking in John 15:7. He said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you," he said, "you will ask whatever you want and it shall be given to you." So the key to your answers is the abiding of the word in you and you in the word. Psalm 37 verse 4. He said, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Intensity is not a gift. It's a labor. You work it out in the spirit. And if you have that intensity, the deployment of the grace of God on your life is literally effortless. Find believers who struggle is because intensity has gone down. Find believers who are intimidated, intensity has gone down. Those days when they were training us, they told us, flies don't perch on hot food. The prince of flies will perch on your life if you are cold. When you are hot, the devil knows. Because fire in itself is torment for the devil, because of the judgment that God has put on his life. And so if you want to remind him of the messianic judgment, come with fire. Come with intensity. And see how he will flee from your quarters. Every word you speak becomes a law. It becomes a commandment. See, you don't carry intensity because you are going for a program. You carry it because you are living a life of warfare. Any day they call on you, it shouldn't take 5 seconds for you to wake up. Some of us who are preachers, because we have identified as pastors, sometimes they call you around 12 midnight. Man of God, somebody is dying. You can't say, I'm waking up from sleep. In nanoseconds, bam, you are switched. Kakota, you devil, come out. Immediately, he can hear where your voice is thundering from. There are times when you are following somebody just on a casual journey and you enter a house. They say, oh, this person is demonized. That's not the time to go and kneel down and say, Father, I take authority over demons. Makorwa, belakova katai. You look at the person, inamoko pakakura, ragaita, ivede, asuzo, mantoba. Are you not aware that a prince entered here? Do you not know that one who wields the powers of the ages to come is standing before you? You devil of darkness. And the same thing you see in a miracle service can happen in somebody's bedroom because you came with intensity. It's a time will fail me to speak of Gideon, to speak of Barak, to speak of Samson, to speak of Jephthah. These are prepared men. To speak of Samuel, of David, and the prophets. He said, who through faith subdued kingdoms? They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. He said, weak men were made strong. He said, they were made valiant in fight. And they put to flight the armies of the alien. They didn't confront one soldier. They confronted battalions. But the fire they carried had sufficiency in dealing with whatever they confronted. No challenge has enough stature to pull you down. The problem you've always had is that you've not been able to deploy your divine side. Tonight, there's an alarm for an awakening. Tonight, there is a summon for an awakening. Dead soldiers must rise up. Dead lions must wake up. Princes of Zion who have been in the state of slumber, he said, awake, awake, thou that sleepest. He said, rise up from the dead. And he said, Christ will give thee light. There is a light that's about to shine, but it's only for those who are awake. The light of God is not for sleeping warriors. The light of God is not for sleeping soldiers. He said, arise, shine, and the glory of the Lord shall be risen upon you. Until you arise, you can't see the light of God. Said, the Gentiles shall come to you. But when it had to do with kings, people who understand the game of thrones, people who understand the permutations in the corridors of power, they don't just come to you. They said they come to the brightness of your rising. But you see, you cannot shine until you burn.
He said John was a burning and a shining light. For a man to shine, he must first of all burn. And so intensity becomes the key to unlocking the powers of your destiny. I don't know what has kept you in the state of slumber, but there's an alarm in the spirit. There is a cry in the spirit. The carriers of the scepter of God must begin to wield them. Maromai. Of God are distributed amongst men. It is the part you have to play in it that is called your ordination. But you see, you will never participate in the demands of ordination except as you give expression to the divine elements on your inside. Isaiah was a prophet. The oracles of God that were apportioned him was for him to sing the alarm of the coming of the Messiah. But he will never come into those corridors until he was poured. And he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. When the coals of fire touched him, there was something about his prophetic ministry that came alive. Tonight, God wants to touch someone so that the things that kept you in the state of slumber, they will break up your life. And then the glorious light of God that is locked up in your spirit will break out like the morning star. Makabara kabu. Of time, and so I will tell the Lord as a sign, let him release that fire in a measure on a few people. Hear this: may you not be shown your reality in heaven after you have left earth. Jesus was speaking, and he said, you are a city set upon the hill. That means the least of us is as big as a city. If you are in business, that business should be as big as a city. If you are in ministry, that ministry should be as big as a city. Whatever you do, the least capacity should be a city. We have not seen real estate owners who are as big as cities. We have not seen people in the apostolic ministry. Do you know that in the days of John Knox, they could walk into a nation and shut down the whole nation because they were as big as cities. A generation is coming again where men that have the stature of cities will be born. Lift your hands toward heaven. Makayato.
Ah, yeah.
you what he wants to do with you, you will know you have not started. Joshua conquered 31 kingdoms. He thought he had achieved something. And God came to him and said, what have you done? He said, see, the land is vast and you are already old. Meanwhile, you were born to conquer all the nations. I heard that over 7 years ago, they stopped Pastor Chris from organizing crusades because the problem they had is that they didn't have a venue for accommodating them. That was why he shifted into the online ministry. The last crusade he held in Lagos, there was a hold up in the whole region for days. People had to park their cars and trek home. And so they told him, sir, we appreciate your calling. We know you are called of God, but we can't allow you to do a crusade again. That's what it means to become a city. And so the only way you can have your own space is to go and start a new generation. No wonder they call it the Believers Love World Nation. How can a man organize a pastor's meeting and 110 million people attend? Do you know how many nations is that combined? Every power that limits you, they go down now. They go down now. They go down now. In the name of Jesus. Every grace on your life that has not been deployed, as you walk out of this place, you will be chained to another man. The dimensions of deity that are locked up in your spirit, they begin to find expression from tonight. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now lift your hands toward heaven.
Yeshua.
Fire in this place now. I'm out of time, so I want to keep it calm. Ushers, you will help me now. You will help me now. There are about 14 persons. It's a quorum in the spirit. There is a fire God is sprinkling here to awaken destinies and ordinations on ground and online. Everyone God is using as a sign tonight, let that fire rest upon you. Ushers, bring them. Let me lay hands on them. Take that fire. Take that fire. Bring them here now. Let me lay hands on them. Yeshua, Yeshua, Yeshua,
Living now. Number one is favor. Hear this before you clap. There are three things favor do or does. Number one, favor commands the allegiance of kings, not just men. When favor came upon Esther, the Bible said the king looked at her and she found favor in the eyes of the king. And the king told her, whatever you want, I will give you, even if it is up to half of my kingdom. The second thing favor does is that it commands transfer of wealth. It said God gave favor to the Israelites and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the third thing favor does is that it breaks protocols on your account. Now hear this. Most of you have wisdom. You have strategy. But the gates you need to access have not opened. You need favor. Lift your hands toward heaven. The power of favor is descending now like a flame. Wherever you are standing, hearing me, on ground, online, in the name of Jesus the Lord, I release that grace now. Take that fire. Take that fire. Take that fire. Protocols are broken for you. Wealth has returned in your direction. Kings bow to you. By the power of favor, receive that grace now.
He's the Lamb of God who sits on the throne.
He alone is worthy of our praise.
Of wisdom descending here now. Inventions are at the mercy of wisdom. Authority is at the mercy of wisdom. Control is at the mercy of wisdom. If you have understanding, you are a natural ruler. Father, in the name of Jesus, everyone you are releasing that grace to, in order to come to the forefront and to bring direction, I
and rulership in stewarding your purpose on the face of the earth, on ground and online. I ask now, let there be a baptism of wisdom. Take that fire now. Everybody listening to me now, on ground and online, hear this. The yokes on your life are breaking now. It doesn't matter what the devil has put in you. It doesn't matter for how long it has been there. Whatever they call it, they can call it cancer. They can call it blindness. They can call it hepatitis. They can call it blood pressure, high blood pressure. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over every spirit of infirmity. I command you, be bound now. I command the chains, break now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Some of you will leave this service and you'll become commanders. Commanders, commanders. When you go out there, even demons will know that something has happened to you. You have stepped into the gates of transfiguration. The kind of light that will come out of you, even demons will know. I prophesy, this is the best day of your life. This is the best season of your life. And it shall be from glory to glory. In the name of Jesus. Lift your voice. Shout. And release the voice of triumph.
And go to Master.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Some of you, demonic waves have lifted off your life. The power of retrogression and backwardness has just broken from somebody's life. You can sense the change. You can feel it. You know that something just happened to you. You have shifted to another realm of life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. This week, you will record strange and extraordinary testimonies. You know that sister testified last week Sunday. I told you that before the week is over, you will receive financial testimony in 6 digits. The lady was in debt, but the power came in her direction. And they said she received an alert in 6 digits, many, many 6 digits. You will receive extraordinary testimonies this week. How many of you have noticed a change already in your body? Just wait. No, wait. Not everybody. If you have noticed a tangible change already, can you wait? Look at that. Now hear this. I want you to become deliberate about testifying. It's the sign of our victory, and it's also a means of stirring the faith of others. Right? Let me see your hand one more time. You have noticed the change. Can you run to the altar? Run to the altar quickly from wherever you are. I was in Lagos on Saturday. I just taught the word of God. We didn't even pray for the sick, as it were. Just gave a few commandments. People were healed in their numbers. We were not taking individual testimonies. We were taking group testimonies. I said, if you have a healing in your eye, lift your hands. 7 persons. You had a healing that relates to your ear, lift your hand. 5 people. You had a fracture, heal. We have come into the face of the miraculous. And everybody seeing, hearing, and participating in this service is your heritage. You will walk in it. In the name of Jesus. We are out of time. Mama, so good to see you. We are out of time. I can't take testimonies, but be deliberate. What you do is, at the end of the service, write it. Go to the back, write it down. If you are around on Sunday, we'll call you to take the testimonies before the service. And then we can read out some of the testimonies. And those who are following online, you can project one of our official numbers. I think from next week we'll have an email designated strictly for testimonies. We are out to fight now. Everything the devil has stolen, everything the devil has destroyed, we attack and reclaim them. This is the time. What happened to you, Mama?
I was hypertensive.
You were hypertensive?
Yes.
For how long?
I've been on drugs for some years.
This is your mic, please. Impartation.
I'm on drugs since that many years ago. So as you say, anybody that has hypertension, reject it now. About a week ago, I stopped the drugs. But when I saw myself, it was so funny. I feel dizzy, I feel weak, I call my doctor. He said, but you choose as well, you want to stop it. I said, my mind says I should stop it, I don't want it again.
What happened now, Mama?
Feel okay.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.